Gonna talk about perverts today. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. We're gonna talk about perverts today and what true perversion is. And I got something to tell you. It has absolutely nothing to do with sex. That's right. The perverts are in the pulpit, and that should be a bumper sticker. Yes, I just invented that. The perverts are in the pulpit. They're not in the strip club. Perversion in the scripture has to do with spiritual dissolution. It has to do with spiritual seduction. It has to do with taking people away from the assurance and the stability and the love of God in Christ and taking them into religious ritual and philosophy and false teachings and scary teachings about God in Christ. All right, we're in the book of 2 Timothy. We're looking into this amazing situation in Asia, where in Acts 19:10, Paul says, "All that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus." But then a few years later, he writes in 2 Timothy 1:15, "All in Asia have turned away from me." How did this happen? It's because wolves snuck into the ecclesias just as they're doing today, and they're drawing away people to themselves by speaking perverse things. We left off yesterday by looking at Paul in Miletus. He calls the elders in from Ephesus, and he's ready to give them his final farewell. He's on his way to Rome and persecution and the end of his career. But what a glorious career. This is what he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed to yourselves and to the entire flocklet, among which the Holy Spirit appointed you supervisors to be shepherding the ecclesia of God, which he procures through the blood of his own. Now I am aware that after I'm out of reach, burdensome wolves will be entering among you, not sparing the flocklet. And from among yourselves will arise men." From among yourselves. From among yourself. This is in the realm of spirituality. These are pseudo-believers. These are not evil men coming from without. These are those in the circle of, quote, faith, unquote. One of the most amazing passages in Scripture, I've shared this with you before, is in 1 Corinthians 15:4. Paul talks about feigned believers. And in the 2 Timothy, which we're going to be looking at later, he talks about those who have a form of devoutness but deny the power. This is the very last thing in a list of evils and crimes that are going to characterize and that do characterize our age. Lovers of selves, lovers of money, thrashers of mothers and fathers. And the last thing is people who have a form of devoutness but deny the power of God. God hates this. Going to look at this. God hates the form of devoutness. It's also known as taking the Lord's name in vain. Yeah, I know. I need to tell you. I want to tell you this. Taking the Lord's name in vain has nothing to do with saying God damn or Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. Taking it in vain for uselessness. You take his name, you call yourself a Christian, but it's in vain because you don't even believe in Christ. You believe in a pseudo Christ. You believe in the pop icon Jesus. Yeah, that's actually what it means, to take his name, to take his name upon yourself. I'm a Christian, and yet you deny every truth of Christ. You deny the power of Christ. You deny the effectiveness of the cross. You deny his ability to do what he said he was going to do, which is save the world. And Paul says this, "From among yourselves will arise men speaking perverse things." For what reason? To pull away disciples after themselves. Men and women are building ministries. They're building dynasties. They're building institutions. They become cult personalities. And these are the ones that are saying perverse things. Because Paul says in 2 Timothy, going to be getting into that, that there are those today who want their ears tickled, want their hearing tickled. And these people will heap up for themselves teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Do you think my teaching is what people want to hear? No, people want to hear free will. People want to hear that they're in control of their own salvation. People want to hear that the idiots down the road are going to hell. People want to hear that. That's what tickles their hearing. That God's the potter and you're the clay. You think that tickles people's hearing? You think people line up to hear me say that? No, it's not popular. And people who are in tune with the Spirit of God pay me to go a long way to say that and to hear that. They love that truth. But these people who are pulling away disciples, they're speaking perverse things. That word perverse in Greek is diastrepho. It's a two-part Greek word. Dia is through, strepho is turn. It's turn, to turn people away from the right thing. You will not find a sexual reference anywhere in this context. No sexual slant or color or anything. In Acts 13:8, you remember that passage? Elymas the magician was seeking to pervert the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, from the truth that Barnabas and Paul and Mark were trying to teach him. Barnabas, Paul, and Mark are in Paphos on the island of Cyprus in Acts chapter 13, and they're teaching the word of truth to the proconsul, to a man of the nations, Sergius Paulus. And this magician, this Jew named Elymas, sought to, quote, pervert the proconsul from the faith, to turn him by beguiling words. And that's what we're looking at. That's the kind of perversion we're looking at. We're looking at human philosophy, and we're looking at religion. Look at what Paul says in Colossians 2. Let's just go there. Let's go to Colossians 2. Paul says he wants the saints to be, verse 2, to be consoled, united in love, and to all the riches of the assurance of understanding. This is about knowledge. This is about information. I know that doesn't sound spiritual, but that's how it is. Assurance of understanding unto a realization of the secret of the God and Father of Christ. What are some of those secrets? We know some of those secrets. That God is conciliated to the world. That Christ is ahead of the entire universe. And that as the head, he's going to bring the entire universe back to him. We're looking for the saints to come to a realization of the secret of God and Father, in whom the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are concealed. Now, Paul says, verse 4, Colossians 2, I'm saying this that no one may be beguiling you with persuasive words. For even if in flesh I am absent, you notice the common theme here, Colossians 2, in flesh absent. He's saying the same things to the men in Miletus that he called from Ephesus. As soon as I leave the room, men are going to come in and they're going to beguile you with persuasive words and they're going to say perverse things. Paul says in verse 8 of Colossians 2, beware that no one shall be despoiling you. The Greek word here means attach lead. Attach a leash to your neck and lead you around. Through what? Through philosophy and empty seduction in accord with human tradition. Jesus said that. You Pharisees, you priests, you religious people, love your traditions more than the truth, and not in accord with Christ. For in him, in Christ, the entire complement of the deity delights to dwell. So, Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone despoil you, trick you, say perverse things. Okay, Martin, give me an example of a perverse thing. Baptism. If you're putting there was a time to be baptized, but now we're complete in Christ. That's in Christ. That's also Colossians 2. Colossians 2:10. If you are heralding baptism in an era where baptism is a slap in the face to the accomplishments of Christ, then you are a pervert. If you're having yes, I'm going to stay with that. If you're having an altar call, and if you're challenging people to undo the sin in their lives, you're making a mockery of the completeness of Christ's sacrifice. You're basically inviting people to take away their own sin by believing. You hold an altar call, you're a pervert. You are saying perverse things. Holy Communion. Do you insist on Holy Communion? You're a pervert. That's perverse because you're beguiling people. You're turning them aside from completeness in Christ into a ritual and into a false ritual at that. Go to church. You need to go to church. Perverts. Perverts are telling you to go to church. They're persuading you. They're beguiling you. They're speaking perverse things in order to attach lead you, to despoil you from your completeness, from the assurance that we read of in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Colossians. Going to church, you can't do it. You can't go to something that you are. You can't go to the church. You are the church. And then let no man be judging you. Let no man or woman tell you that your sin is keeping you from God. All the denominations have their own sin, their own specialty of what you can't do. And if you do that sin, you're you're out of it. That's judging. Let no man judge you, Paul says in Colossians. The one who does judge you is a pervert. We got to redefine what a pervert is. There's not a sexual slant in the context. You're not doing enough for God. You need to do more for God. God is disappointed with you. Is somebody telling you that? That person is a pervert. They are speaking perverse things, and that is what led the early church that was set up in 1 Timothy. That's what took that church into the church that in ruins. The church in ruins that we're seeing Paul predict in Acts chapter 20, and we're seeing it in fruition in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got to end with a couple quotes here. You know, I love this word perverse in Acts 20. Again, it's also in Acts 13, the Jewish magician Bar-Jesus trying to pervert the proconsul. He didn't do it by getting out a Playboy magazine. Right? The proconsul, Sergius Paul, is ready to believe. Here comes Bar-Jesus, Elymas, and says, he's got his little Playboy magazine, and says, oh, look at this, Sergius Paul. Look over here. I have a centerfold of a very beautiful Greek woman that's very scantily clad. That's not how he did it. That's not how Satan does it. Satan's not that stupid. Satan uses the attraction of doing something to please God. He uses the attraction of religion, the excitement of belonging, the Joel Osteens of believing that every day can be a Friday if you just have faith. Your house can be bigger. Your car could be better. Your clothes could be fancier. You could be smarter, wiser, and more respected. How respected was the Apostle Paul? Okay, there is so much here. I'm going to have to, yeah, I know. You're killing me. I know people are not going to be happy with me. We're going to talk about the 6 things God hates. I'm going to talk about that Monday from Las Vegas. Going to tell you a little bit about Vegas in a second. You're going to talk about what God hates and along this line of what is the real perversion. You know, perversion happens in the pulpit. Perversion happens in the pulpit, not in the strip club. I got an amazing quote from C.S. Lewis and a quote from E.W. Bullinger that I'm going to share with you Monday. And Monday, I'm going to be broadcasting from my studio in Las Vegas, which I haven't even seen yet, not because I haven't built it yet. Go to my blog, go to martinzender.com for the next 10, 14 days, however long I'm going to be gone. You can follow the adventures. Go to martinzender.com, then go to my blog, Zenderville. Click on there. I'm going to try to update that every day. I want you to be on this trip with me. I'm going to introduce you to people that I'm going to be meeting for the first time. I'm going to take my camera everywhere, might even take some videos. And so I want you to meet these people as I meet them. So go to martinzender.com. On Saturday, I should have the first blog up, and then stick with me for 10 days. Going to try to update that every day. I can't take you with me in person. Wish I could, but we can go there together through Zenderville. All right. I will talk to you Monday from Sin City. And until then, have a great weekend. This has been Martin Zender, and thanks for tuning in.